Welcome once again to our Bible study for today. This is Mike Moody. We're pleased to be with you again. Let's look to our Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you for the day that you've given us, for this is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Help us today, we pray, in our study from thy word. In Christ's name, amen. As we look at 1 Thessalonians once again, we left off considering in chapter 4, which the verse number 1 says, furthermore, or finally, he's moved into the section of exhorting these saints and you and I that know the Lord of how we ought to live. Practically speaking, here in chapters 4 and 5, several things about how we should live in view of the Lord's return. So in verse 3, we were considering that he specifically mentions something to our living that is the will of God. He says, even your sanctification, our holiness, the practical sanctification, the daily walk. And he said in verse 3, of this will of God that is your sanctification, even your sanctification, that ye should abstain from fornication. Now, we were in the midst of examining this, and we were in 1 Corinthians, and we were in chapter 6, because the book of Corinthians deals a lot about fornication, and it deals largely with the exhortation for the believer to flee from fornication, whether in a physical sense of sexual immorality, or also there is the sense of spiritual fornication, sinning against our God in the things concerning Him. But in the sense of physical fornication, sexual activity outside of God's plan of one man and one woman. And as we look at this text again of Corinthians 6, we read the last time, verses 15 on down to the end of the chapter, and it's dealing there about if two join together, they are one flesh. That's a quote from Genesis chapter 2. As we think of that beginning, there was Adam and Eve. But in this text here of Corinthians 6, he mentions that to join with an harlot, you've become one flesh, and this is very serious because remember that the marriage bond is brought out in Ephesians 5 is a picture of Christ and His church. The man represents Christ, as we see also in Corinthians 11 in the section that deals with headship here just a few chapters from where we are now. That the man represents Christ, and that the wife represents the body of Christ, as we see in Ephesians 5, that the man is to love his wife as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it, and that the woman is to reverence her husband, and these things as he would bring to a head in that chapter of Ephesians 5, says this speaks of the church, of Christ and his bride. It speaks of the body of Christ. It speaks of that great mystery of Christ and His church, the bride, the body of Christ. And so we bring that into this context. To be joined to an harlot, you and I that know the Lord Jesus Christ, this is a serious realm. It mars the very picture of the Savior and His body, His bride, the church. And yet, on a very personal and physical manner, we see that to be joined to an harlot is to be made one flesh. Verse 17, for he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. We don't want to mar the understanding and the teaching and the picture of our Savior, but we also must understand the effects it has upon us as individuals. That's why in verse 18 he says, flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body. Okay, sin is without the body. It has its reaching effects. And yet, verse 18 goes on to say, but he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. You see, there's a sense that there are things that will affect our bodies. Sin, such as drunkenness, drug abuse, various things that will affect our body. And it goes on the rest of the chapter to deal with the fact that our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit. And we should look to live in a way that's pleasing to God. And so, when we see these things, what does it mean that fornication sinneth against our own body? There are other sins, as we've just mentioned, that also affect the body. But why is fornication singled out? I would suggest at least part of the answer is this, that yes, there is the scars that come from drunkenness and other immoralities and drug abuse, but fornication has that spiritual and that emotional bonding, because sexual contact is to be with a man and his wife, a God-given gift. And to be joined with someone else, whether it's before marriage or whether it's adultery and it's affecting a marriage bond, fornication is a broader sense, is sexual contact in whatever realm that's outside of the proper marriage. Fornication brings scars to you, spiritually and emotionally. And so I would encourage, if there are any young people listening as well, that before you come into a life of promiscuity, you know, it may only take one time, and then you feel like, oh, I'm dirty now. I'm affected by this, and oh, it doesn't matter. I might as well continue living like this. Before you get into that, and you have the emotional scars, do as the Word of God says, flee. Flee from fornication, because these things can have a lasting effect upon you mentally, emotionally, spiritually. And so, you know, the Word of God is very direct about these things, such as in Hebrews 13, he says, marriage is honorable and the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. We see God takes these things serious. And so as we consider fornication, we go back to our text. There are other references here in Corinthians, but we won't look at each one of them today. We go back to our text of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. In the next verse, he gives a little explanation after he says to abstain from fornication, verse 4, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor. And so here we see that there is this way that we're exhorted that we should know how to have victory, as it were, to know how to possess our own bodies, our vessels, in a way of this sanctified and honoring unto the Lord. May we have victory in this area. And so, how do we live on a day-to-day manner? Are we feeding the flesh? Are we feeding the old man? Again, Colossians 3 says, put off the old man, put on the new man. If you feed the flesh, then it has the greater probability of sins piling up, becoming habitual, and one sin leading to another. You know, in one sense, people say, well, sin is sin, you know, it's all the same. Well, if we're talking about salvation, yes, we're born sinners. We're all sinners. We've been born sinners. One sin proves that we were born a sinner. And as far as being condemned to hell without Christ, yet one sin, you could say in that sense. But if you look at the Word of God, there are different ramifications for different sins. So in another sense, not all sin is the same. The principles of law and order come from the Old Testament. When you see government, God established government. And so when you look at the government and the laws that we have in a society, isn't there a different penalty for someone who robs a bank than someone who is caught, say, speeding 60 and a 55? Not to condone breaking any law, because we are to obey those in authority, Romans 13. But if you are going 5 miles over the speed limit, you're not going to spend 10 years in jail like you would for, I don't know the terms, but robbing a bank, murder, rape, these various things. You may even lose your life. So there's various ramifications for sin. We're all sinners, but the reaping and sowing of sin comes at different levels. You know, there are times in the Word of God where the Lord, of course, hates all sin, but He will say certain things He hates, or certain sins He would call an abomination, certain sins He would associate with how people had ran away from God, when He would talk about Israel in their adultery, their whoredoms, their spiritual leaving of God. He referred to as idolatry and fornication. You see, He puts a premium on what our sin does as affecting His name even. And so, yes, we're not condoning any sin, but some particular sins bring a greater penalty, perhaps, in things in our lives today. You see, there are sins that we can quickly go to a person and repent of and say, you know, I'm sorry, I was wrong in this, and it can be done with. And yet there are other sins that can have lasting effects. We may repent before that person, and yet if you, for example, have been put in jail for 20 years because you've done something of great offense, you know, you can repent of that, but you're still going to be serving time. There's a great penalty. As God says, there are seven things that He hates, as He mentions there in Proverbs. One, He says, causing division among the brethren, and things like pride. And He puts a very strong word against specific sins. Well, having said this, may we take serious what God has said about fornication. Flee from it. Let's look to our Lord in prayer. Father, we just ask Your guidance in these serious matters. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, amen. Thank you for being with us. If you have any questions or concerns, please call us at 824-5525 or write us at P.O. Box 1259, Ramsdorf, North Carolina, zip code 27316. Our requests for tapes are free. Join us next time at 1 o'clock with the Two Roads and Two Destinies Radio Ministry.